Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Adam Eadas set to be disciplined by Norwich for failing to report for their pre-season flight. Rangers are set to sign Dutch centre-back Robin Proper, and St Mirren and Kilmarnock prepare for their European showdowns. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
Robin Proper, a headline writer's dream. But fair play to Rangers. They lost Conor Goldson, and within a matter of days they have Robin Proper in. I would expect them to play at Tynecastle on Saturday afternoon. Meanwhile, it is 10 weeks to the day since the Scottish Cup final ended in victory for Celtic. Since then, two goalkeepers, good piece of business. Nothing continues to happen with regard to signing outfield players.
We are back to the two-hour format, Jim Duffy, and I think just as well, because there has been a lot happening the last few weeks and it's really starting to ramp up now.
Yeah, that's what happens, Andrew. The closer we get to the league campaign, we know we've had the League Cup, but you know, when the bigger teams come in, obviously we had a couple of decent results in Europe last week as well for St Mirren and Kilmarnock. Of course, the interest goes up another level, another notch. There's no question about that. As Hugh mentioned, there's been quite a lot of coming and goings. Rangers, still a few, still looking, you know, to see. Obviously, we know that Todd Cantwell put in an official transfer request. Nothing happened in that part yet. But I think all the Celtic fans would have expected, and I think Brendan Rodgers as well would have expected. He's kind of wording it carefully, and he has done over the last few weeks. He said he thought he would have players to go on the American trip. Didn't happen. He's now saying he doesn't want to be snoozing. You know, he's using kind of phrases. But I think he's laying it out there and saying, listen, to the fans, he wants players in. Unfortunately, for one reason or another, it hasn't happened so far.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025, whatever is on your mind, we want to hear from you. Celtic fans, the news broke late last night. We didn't get much of a chance to talk about it on the show last night. Adam Eadas set to be disciplined by Norwich for failing to report for their pre-season flight. Their manager saying that Celtic's interest is probably the reason. The questions are for you. What happens now? The Celtic now need to really put their foot to the floor and make sure they get Adam Eadas in the next few days. Rangers fans, what do you make of the potential signing of Dutch centre-back Robin Proper? It looks as if he's now in the UK, will undergo a medical, and he looks to be the Conor Goldson replacement. We want to hear from you, St Mirren and Kilmarnock fans as well. Maybe you're one of the St Mirren fans that's looking forward to a first home European tie in 37 years. Maybe you're a Kilmarnock fan that's on their way to Belgium for that game against Cercle Brugge. 0141 951 1025. We'll get into them a bit later on, but looking forward to those two games tomorrow.
Well, I was quite impressed by Cercle Brugge at Rugby Park. They had criticised the surface before the game started, but they did well on that surface. Goal up at one point. I think Kilmarnock have a long night ahead of them. With Kyle Vassell, you can always rely on him unsettling their defence. But I think Kilmarnock will get a harder job in their hands than St Mirren. I confidently expect St Mirren, with home advantage, a sell-out crowd, they will beat Valour and progress.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually slightly different from Hugh. I thought that, I think Cercle Brugge done well initially, but I thought Kilmarnock, after they went one goal down, actually done very well. Scored, were a bit unlucky not to get a winner on the night.
Derek McInnes even said that he felt if they played for another 5 minutes, they probably could have scored.
Yeah, I mean, they had the momentum at that time. And Kilmarnock quite like defending. You know, they've went to, whether it's Celtic Park, Ibrox, you know, they quite like that counter-attack style. They've got the players for it. So I don't think they'll be phased too much. Of course, Brugge will be favourites. There's no doubt about that. But I wouldn't write Kilmarnock off. I'm with you in terms of St Mirren. I think St Mirren have got enough in the tank to win that game. It will be a fantastic atmosphere. I think the first home tie was at 37 years,
yep.
European tie. So for St Mirren, so yeah, fantastic
even,
occasion.
Even I was young 37 years ago.
I'm not sure we're going that far, Hugh, are we?
Well, I am.
Yeah, why not? But yeah, I think that, you know, this is when you know that. We mentioned it last week, Andrew, that it's difficult because the clubs, this is the first competitive game for Kilmarnock and St Mirren. So, you know, I think both of them, the fact that they're still very much in the tie is a huge compliment to how both managers have prepared their team. Again, domestically, there's a lot of work ahead for both of our big clubs, but also the other clubs are still talking about, you know, we hear rumours about, are Rangers back in for Shanklin again? Is there a rumour that Celtic might be interested in him? You know, the Adam Ida story, as you mentioned. Conor Goldson has now left Rangers. I know you discussed that. So key players that have been at Rangers, integral parts over the last, what, 6-7 years or so. So there's a lot of changes at Rangers. In particular, Celtic has been status quo. Obviously, Bernardo looks as if he's going to be concluded, I think, in the next 24 hours.
How many
that
times
last
have
week.
We said that?
Yeah, exactly. We have said that a few times. We thought it was done last
Brendan Rodgers has mentioned him by name today. Mm. He was asked about him, said that a medical is in place. He actually said that it could be done in a few hours, whether that means there's going to be an announcement tonight, whether it means that it could be tomorrow. But I feel like we have been here before so many times.
This is symptomatic of the difference between Rangers and Celtic. Is say Rangers lose Goldson and within 72 hours a replacement is in, and from a very good level, and for a transfer fee for a club who have their self-admitted financial problems to contend with. 10 weeks since Paulo Bernardo had a go at goal and Jack Butland spilled the ball and Adam Ida scored, won the cup and the double for Celtic. 10 weeks.
The thing is, Hugh, it's down to, I mean, I know you're saying about proper, but it's down to what quality and what level you're trying to go. Celtic are trying to compete in the Champions League, so maybe they're looking at players at a different level, obviously financially as well. Maybe again, maybe the pool of players that they're looking for is in a small range. Rangers have been looking at, other than this player that they've currently signed, proper, as you said, there have been project players, there have been players with potential. I think Celtic, as we know, have signed plenty of players with potential. They need ready, you know, a higher level player to go and compete with Callum McGregor, to go and compete with Carter Vickers, the guys that are nailed on. It's when these guys were missing last year, when Carter Vickers and Callum McGregor were missing, Celtic's form, you know, was a significant dip. So they need a higher level of players. So that's the reason why I think Celtic's going to cut a little bit of slack, because I think that the pool of players that they're looking for is much, much smaller.
At the same time, I think the supporters are entitled to ask, how long does this take?
0141 951 1025. Maybe you do want to ask that. Maybe you want to ask something else. Give us a call on that number. Stephen is a Celtic fan up first in Wishaw. Stephen, how are you?
Good evening, Andrew, Jim and you. How are you?
Good, Stephen.
Nice to be back. 2 hours again. The hour just wasn't enough over the summer.
Plenty to discuss, Stephen. What do you want to talk about?
My point is, I'm basically following to what Jim's just said. He talked about the lack of depth last year when folk were injured. It was apparent all year after the crap transfer window last summer, after the terrible transfer window in the Christmas time, it was all the same excuses. It's hard to get players in. It's difficult at this time of year. Right? We obviously got over the line. We won the league. Blah, blah, blah. But it's now, as Hugh just also said, it's 10 weeks since the Scottish Cup final. And we've got two goalkeepers in. Like, they go on about having all this money and how good the club is and how big a club we are. Like, where's the players then? Because I'm not the only person that's annoyed about this. Because the club are first when they're like, we've got a new strip out, we've got the new away strip out, or we've got the Champions League package, do you want to buy it? Or you've got your season ticket to pay for. They want your money, but they don't seem to want to give any money back to the fans in terms of buying players.
I appreciate, Stephen, that when they are in the Champions League and they have 8 games to play as opposed to 6 in the past, I appreciate that a higher standard of player is required. I also appreciate that negotiations can be complex and that you're having to bear in mind that you have a wage structure. I understand all of these things, but 10 weeks, come on. Surely there's one player. Paolo Bernardo is not moving Celtic surprise? Forward. Paolo Bernardo was there last season. And Adam Ida was there last season.
Is that the big surprise that first and foremost that those two players, clearly players that Celtic are interested in, have been at the club already, that they haven't managed to get those ones over the line yet? Should those ones be the easier ones to...
Yeah, I think Paolo Bernardo should have been easier. I know that they wanted more money, so there was a bit of negotiation going there initially. The talk was 6 million. It looks like it's 3.5 with add-ons and a high percentage. So there's been a bit of negotiating there. If that gets over the line, it would seem a good piece of business at that the price at Celtic did negotiate. Adam Ida was a difficult one because there's a new manager come in there. I think it was the previous manager. That would have been done and dusted quite quickly. But the new manager wanted to assess him. Obviously, it looks as if now he's obviously shown his hand, Adam, to say, like, I want to go to Celtic. So that might accelerate that process now. You would imagine that the manager won't be too happy and that will cause some sort of division there, and therefore something's got to give. And invariably, that means that the player's going to get shifted and Celtic being number one in that list there for his services. I take Hugh's point, and I can get that because I feel that a lot of the preparation should have been done well in advance, not just in the summer, not just since, and Hugh's mentioned 10 weeks, not just since the cup final, but well before that. So as your targets are there, so as you're further down the line of attracting the quality. But Celtic are a huge club, we know that. Playing in Champions League is a huge advantage to try and attract players. But Scottish football still is looked down upon, whether we like it or not, by the vast majority of top-class players. And they will wait and wait and wait to see what they come before they decide to come and play in Scotland. That's a sad indictment of our game, but that is a fact.
Stephen, you mentioned that you felt there were maybe excuses in the transfer window, but that last season Celtic eventually, you know, got the business done, got the job done in terms of winning the league, won a cup as well. Does it ultimately matter when the business gets done if Celtic go on to have a successful season?
I would say yes and no. I feel like when we go back to the Ange kind of time, we got stuff done really early. We get players in. They were away doing pre-season. They were kind of settled. Obviously, we had kind of Nicholas Coon. He came in at, was it Christmas time he came in at? Mm-hmm. It took him a while to settle into the team. It feels like they should have had at least a couple of players. The goalkeeper thing was a bit of a fiasco. We knew Joe Hart was like retiring in like what, January, February, something like that. And it took them till like 2 weeks ago to get a keeper, which again, Peter Schmeichel, he does look, Casper Schmeichel, he does look like an incredible keeper and he probably will be solid for us this year. But it felt like that was a Brendan Rodgers kind of favour because he'd obviously retired a couple of weeks previous to that. And then we got him. So, I don't know, it just feels like Celtic again are asleep at the wheel, and it's just going to not bode well for the Champions League because, as you said, there's more games, there'll be more fatigue, there's a potential to get injuries, which then can knock on to the league and the cups and that kind of stuff. And if there's no depth in the team and we just rely on this really solid team that we've got, because like Celtic were great against City, they were great against Chelsea, but it feels like we're relying on too many like of the first team with the potential that they might get injured, and then we'll be like last year again where we'll get main players out and we really struggle against the Ross Counties and the smaller teams in the Scottish Premier League when we should theoretically be beating them easy.
Stephen, you touched upon the Champions League and the packages will be bought. Every last one of them will be bought. And then the music will play and the noise will be deafening. And then Celtic will lose. Because that's what happens. They have stagnated in Europe for a long number of years. And, you know, I think supporters are entitled to ask of more from the club in that regard. I realise that the most important thing, the Champions League is the second most important thing to the fans. The most important thing is that they finish above Rangers. I realise that. However, how many more years of stagnation? How many more years of participating in but not competing in the Champions League will the fans take?
Well, thank you to Stephen. Barry is a Celtic fan up next in Uddingston. What have you got for us tonight, Barry?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh, Jim. Hi, thanks, Barry, for having me on the show tonight. I was on the show last year around January time. And I was defending Brendan. I was defending the board. And I'm really on to do much the same, to be fair. I understand that, and at this time of year, before the football starts, football fans sort of want their fix, don't they? We all want that blockbuster signing. You know, we want those players standing with the scarves above their head and that anticipation. But I think, you know, the criticism that's getting aimed at the board and this sleeping at the wheel stuff and, you know, failing to prepare, and I can't comprehend where that comes from, because last season Celtic done a double. The year before that, they done a treble. The year before that, we didn't win a trophy. But the years before that, we done a quadruple treble. I'm really not sure how much more a board can deliver to fans, you know, before we realise and say, we've experienced unprecedented success. It's never happened like this at any other time in Scottish football.
But each season, Barry, is a fresh page, a new chapter in the club's history.
I get that.
And also, I draw your attention, you said earlier on with regard to Brendan and the board, draw your attention to Brendan Rodgers speaking today and saying it's important Celtic don't snooze in the transfer market.
But have Celtic snoozed over the years, Hugh?
You keep saying over the years. I'm talking about since last season ended.
But Brendan Rodgers isn't necessarily saying that Celtic are snoozing at the moment. He's just saying that clubs at that level need to keep striving for better. Celtic still have a month left in the transfer window.
No, I think the choice of the word was very much Brendan Rodgers' way of saying.
Well, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on that, shall we? He says it's important they don't snooze in the transfer market.
We still have work to do, but there's lots of moving parts. It's never as easy as just seeing a player and bringing him in. So, but we would hope by the end of August that we would have the team support it how we would have wanted, because it's so important that you cannot snooze in this game of football. You always have to be developing and improving, and we want to ensure that we have an improved squad for this season in order to take on all the challenges that we have.
Is that maybe just him sending a message out to supporters that are concerned to say Celtic aren't going to snooze, they're looking to progress, they're looking to make the squad better over the next month?
Listen, he's a very experienced manager. He knows what to say when he's getting interviewed by the press. You know, as Hugh mentioned as well, he uses words. You know, he's not going to be going overly critical, but he's throwing a suggestion out there. Like, you know, we don't want to be sleeping, we don't want to be snoozing, so we need to get our act together. You know, Barry saying there, you know, about the domestic success has been, but in Europe, they have been really disappointing. And I know it's hard, and we know that you know that sometimes you can be unlucky with the groups you get and all these things, but you can't look around now and say, oh, it's just Scottish football, it's just the budget, because we see so many teams all around Europe doing better.
So how much of that comes down to tactically then, rather than the money you spend and the players you bring in? Is there maybe a notion to change things tactically and get better results?
I think there has to be a little bit of a change, and you know, you're not as good as, I mean, it's not just a case of, it's, you know, going out and playing your own way all the time. You know, sometimes you've got to adapt to opposition if you're playing against better opposition, or, you know, cleverer opposition, or tactically more aware or whatever. But also, I think getting players in earlier. You know, I mean, Brendan's saying there, they're still to the end of August, but you don't want to be bringing players in right at the last minute. I think it was Steven said the other on that Kuhn came in, it took him a while. But a lot of, you know, there's very, very few players that, you know, literally cut your fingers and they're off and running.
He also had issues. He had sort of operation on his teeth, lost a lot of weight, so there was sort of mitigating
Any can happen. It could be anything to you know, you say it could be an illness, it could be, you know, a niggle, it could be adapting to the style. You know, there's a multitude of things that can happen, but if you get them in earlier, then a lot of these things can be ironed out before the real test comes up, which is the Champions League competition, which Hugh said is the second you know, most important. But you want to be ready to go and compete. I don't think Celtic were ready last year when they went into that competition. They had a couple of red cards, and other players that came in just didn't really, they weren't really up to speed at that time. And you don't get second chances at that level. You know, you need to be ready. And therefore, if your players are in 3 or 4 weeks at least beforehand, then they're almost up to speed. They're certainly getting a lot closer than they were last year.
I accept Stephen, the first caller, was concerned. I accept that Barry, the second caller, is not concerned. But I think a short while ago, the vast majority of the Celtic supporters were laughing at Rangers and wondering whether Rangers would even finish second in the league table. And Rangers are going about their business. Celtic do have a better squad than Rangers, but I think the Celtic fans are saying, well, you know, Rangers have next to no money and yet can be lively in the transfer market. Celtic have lots of money. I think they're looking for an acceleration when it comes to recruitment.
Well, thank you to Barry. Celtic fans, maybe you've got something you want to add to that. Rangers fans, I want to hear your thoughts on the potential signing of Robin Proper. Looks as if the Dutch centre-back is in the UK for a medical. Looks like he's going to be Conor Goldson's replacement. Kilmarnock fans, St Mirren fans, huge games tomorrow night. We want to hear your thoughts. 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty of time to get your calls in, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Plenty of opinions on Celtic so far. We want to hear from you on the Adam Ida situation. Going to be disciplined internally for missing Norwich's pre-season flight to Austria. Rangers fans, looks as if you're going to have a new signing, a 30-year-old central defender from the Netherlands. What do you make of that? 0141 951 1025. And of course, two huge European games tomorrow, St Mirren and Kilmarnock. Get your thoughts in on that. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. He's been speaking to Sky Sports about Matt O'Reilly. He says clubs need to place their value on Matt O'Reilly and not the league he's playing in. He says no clubs have come close to their valuation yet.
Well, it's been actually straightforward with Matt because he's such a great professional. I think always the challenge, I think, for teams coming to a club like Celtic is that they sometimes can place a value on the league and not the player. And I've already said to the club, we all understand the model here. Players will come in and develop. It's not a club that you have to move on from, but obviously there's riches in other leagues much greater than ours that allows players to go and improve their conditions for their life. So we all understand that. But I think it's really important from my perspective, if a player does leave here, that as I said, they play the value for the player. And that's not something that sometimes can happen. Sometimes a value will come in a lot less. But I've worked in the Premier League. I understand the levels there. I understand the players and what the values are. So so no player will leave here unless it's for the right valuation. And at this moment in time, there's been no team that's been anywhere near that.
Well, that's the other side of the coin where Celtic's transfer business is concerned. They have a valuation where Matt O'Reilly is concerned, and I'd imagine that valuation is 20 million at least, rising to 25 million, I would suspect. Atalanta not coming anywhere close to that, so there's no point in discussing that until they come back with a sensible offer. And I'm not sure that Matt O'Reilly's dream is to play for Atalanta or Southampton or others who have been credited with an interest in them.
We've said that before about players in Scotland, though, and we've said it before about managers in Scotland as well, that, you know, would they really leave Celtic or Rangers to go to Club X, to go to Club Y? And they have gone to Club X or Club Y because they have a lot more money than our Scottish clubs do.
Yeah, I fully understand that, but I think Matt O'Reilly strikes me as the type of person who has an opinion of himself and where he wants to go to further his career. And I think at the moment, by his demeanour, he's showing that he's perfectly happy. He's not perturbed by the fact that Atalanta have come in 2 or 3 times and Celtic have rejected them 2 or 3 times. So he's waiting for a better offer, and Celtic are waiting for a better offer. So until somebody meets Celtic's valuation, then they don't get him. By the same token, until Celtic meet Norwich City's valuation of Adam Ida, they don't get him.
I think that you know, the experience that you know, that Matt Arella had in the January when they talk about Atletico Madrid, and he admitted it himself. He said that that did affect him, but the fact that he's now went over that, he's had that experience, he's had the you know, the rumours and, you know, and all the suggestions, and he knows how to deal with it now.
So does it look as if he's grown from that? Because yeah, Brendan Rodgers said it's been quite easy to, you know, to deal with him this summer. He's been scoring goals in pre-season.
Yeah, when he was, you know, obviously when it first came in, it's the first time that that type of thing's happened while he's still at a club, while he's still playing. So he's learned how to deal with that, learned how to cope with it, and he's getting on with it, and I think that's absolutely fine. The only thing is, I do disagree with Brendan in the sense of the saying that it's not the league. Well, sadly, it is. I mean, we could list umpteen players down south who we would suggest are pretty much bang ordinary, but will go for 40, 50 million pounds because they're playing in the English Premier League. And in Scotland, if Matt O'Reilly's playing at any of maybe the top 10, 12 clubs down there, he'd probably treble his value. So there is a part of it that the league does play a part. That's the reason why Atalanta are chancing their luck and offering 12 or 13 or 14 million. Because they're thinking it's Scottish football. The thing Celtic have in their favour is they're very strong financially. See, they don't need to sell, and therefore they can hold out for what they believe is that. But the Scottish League in particular will always be looked down upon by the majority of the super leagues around Europe.
01419511025. That's the number Mark, a Celtic fan in Cumbernauld, has dialed. Mark, what's on your mind tonight?
Good evening, gents. How are you?
Good, Mark.
Good, thank you.
It's just the same point as the other two or three gents that were on before me. I was listening to the comments before by Hugh and Jim, and he was talking about, you know, half of them in. That's the way they do business, to get somebody in quicker, and, you know, depending on the quality, that's how they want to work it. But I agree with Jim, to be honest with you. I think Celtic are trying to look at players maybe a wee bit out of their own reach, or they're trying to wait for Premier League players to come back, and Premier League teams to bring in the players they want, to then release the players at Celtic maybe want to take off them, if that's how they're trying to do it. And a lot of teams don't want to, a lot of players might not want to go to Scotland, the first choice, but I think that's where they are. But what I'll say is, though, and I agree with Jim saying that, I think Celtic have been slow. I mean, I'm 45, I've watched Celtic for quite a long time, and I don't think there's ever been a year, maybe apart from the first year I came in, players came in bang, 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 straight away.
We'll try and clear your lineup, Mark. It's not too clear at the moment. We could make out the gist of it with Mark saying that essentially to get players of a required quality, sometimes it just takes a bit longer. Sometimes players of a higher quality are only available later on in the window because of what bigger clubs are doing. It's tough because fans want things now. They want things to happen straight away. But sometimes clubs do need to wait a bit longer.
Yeah, sometimes there's a domino effect. You know, somebody, you know, goes, triggers another move and so on and so forth, and that happens. You know, a number of clubs can all of a sudden, you know, start to do a lot more business. You know, there hasn't been that much business getting done in the UK as opposed to previous years. I'm talking about down south in particular. Yeah, there's still been moves, but not in the hundreds of millions that we've seen in over the last maybe a year or two. So I think that everyone is just taking a little step back, making more assessments, and they're waiting on, you know, the initial maybe two or three players are going to move, and that might just trigger some openings for Celtic. I mean, Mark's saying there about maybe Premiership players. Well, that might be the case. They might be looking to see who's moving on, who they bring in. And again, yeah, it would suggest that they might not think, well, that's my number one priority is to go and play in Scotland. But If the dream move doesn't come off somewhere else, you might think it's a very, very good option to go to Celtic, even if it is for a limited amount of time, even if it is to get their profile, you know, up. Then that's what's happened with Matt O'Reilly, for instance. I mean, he's came to Celtic, his profile's went through the roof, and he's now got an opportunity, if he wants to take it, to perhaps move to a stronger league.
Take the example of Ida, for example. I don't think, you know, Mark is suggesting that we're knee-jerk, or I am knee-jerk, or some supporters are knee-jerk. I go back to it, 10 weeks since Celtic played in the cup final. Adam Ida, Norwich may be digging in their heels, and Ida has now encouraged them to dig their heels in even further by doing what he did by missing the plane to Austria.
Do you think that's what will happen?
I think there's a possibility, but is Adam Ida the only striker in the world. I mean,
but maybe he is the striker that Brendan Rodgers wants, and Celtic still think he's a very realistic option. If they think he's a realistic option and it's still on the table, why would they then go for their next option if they think it's still going to happen?
So you find yourself in the situation where you play Rangers on the 1st of September at Celtic Park and the window closes the following day and you still don't have Adameda, and that's that.
Yeah, but they may have Adameda in by then. I'm not saying there's still a month left of the transfer window. They don't need to decide right this second, surely.
If that's their number one priority, then they wait for him until such times as it's a final decision. So if the final decision is no, you're not going to get him, then you move on to number two or number three. But put it this way, I mean, Hugh's saying there about strikers. Strikers are at a premium. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But we've seen that in the Euros. There are very, very few number nine strikers out there at any kind of level of a real quality. So they are at a premium. So if Adameda is the number one target for Celtic, then they've got to, you know, be a little bit more patient. And if that falls through, yeah, you have to have backup plans, whether that's a loan player, which is maybe possibly, or whether that's a different type of striker. But he seems to tick most of the boxes that Brendan Rodgers is looking at.
Mark, what do you think happens with the Adameda situation now? Does it look as if that's a bit of a come and get me plea from Adameda for Celtic to go back in and make sure they get that deal over the line quickly?
Can you hear me okay now?
Yep, sounding good.
Ah, excellent. I think they want Ida. By the sounds of things, that's what they want. And I totally get that there's other players out there. And Celtic, I don't know if Celtic have got another list of players that they want, but Ida's a totally different striker to Kyogo. He's big and strong, powerful. He's got a bit about him. You know, he can hold the ball up, whereas Kyogo wants in behind. Scottish football, you don't get much space in behind. So Ida was second half of the season, he was pretty much the man to go and do the business. I think that's where Celtic are looking at, and he's asked a lot of the Celtic fans, they definitely want him in, but it's Celtic are notorious at this. You know, last year we waited a wee while to get Jota, the year before that, sorry. A couple of years ago before that, we were waiting for ages to get Paddy Robertson for loan to actually another loan. They just take a long time to do the business. They're very quick at getting rid of players. You know, they sold they've got two strikers, O was the second striker they owned. They got rid of him really early in the window, leaving Kyogo. Now, if we went in that summer tour and Kyogo got injured, or if we play Kilmarnock on Saturday and Kyogo gets an injury, that's Celtic with no striker for the next 3 or 4 weeks until they get one in. You know, and you're going to be left with playing players at your position up front. And like you say, as you say, we're playing Rangers, but not just Rangers, you know. We've got Hibs away, we've got St Mirren away. You know, we've got other teams that have strengthened away from home. And if it's a big if, we can all get injured, or even not, if you're just not having a good game, you have no other options to change it up. When a club at Celtic could profess to be this big, giant club, and they are a well-supported club, financially strong, for a club like that, to have one forward in at the club right now, one forward with a manager like Brendan Rodgers who wants quality in, is pretty poor, in my opinion.
One forward who remains, Kyogo Furuhashi. Two who have gone, and Adameda. And also, Rocco Vatta, who by Brendan Rodgers' own admission, he wanted to be the third striker at Celtic. So I can make a case out for saying they are three strikers down. Vata's gone, O's gone, and Ida is currently getting his fingers snapped by his manager.
I think Bojan Miovski must be on the radar, I think, at Aberdeen, because...
Well, certainly the reports, was it yesterday or today, that there was a bid from Espanyol, I think, £3.5 million. Yeah. Aberdeen looking at £6 million for him.
But again, you know, if negotiate, I'm just looking again at strikers who perhaps could be available, and you know the Scottish game, he scored a good number of goals and played well with a pretty average Aberdeen team last year. You would think he's a good age, he's enough experience, he's a different type of option. Again, if either does come in, as Hugh said, you know, you certainly need more than two if you're going to be competing for all these competitions. And again, not weakening the team, just giving you different styles and different ways of approaching games. So I think he's got to be on the radar for Celtic, because he's got good movement. You know, he's a calm finisher. He's got a good range of goals. And I say he's on your doorstep, and I think sometimes we look beyond the doorstep a little bit more. You know, we think, oh, as we were just saying there, maybe, oh, he's Scottish football, but you know, you can't have it one way.
And
the other way, you can't turn around and say, well, we can't look at the league, we don't look at the player. Well, look at the player, look at Bjorn Miowski, and say, what is his qualities? And if you actually listed them, you think, he's a decent shout.
You understand, though, that a club like Aberdeen would rather not sell to Celtic or Rangers.
They need the money as well, Hugh.
Oh, of course.
Sometimes they've got no choice. If they get an offer that they can't
refuse. A new training ground and stuff like that.
In an ideal world, they would rather not sell to a competitor. Mm. However, if the money, for the sake of conversation, is £6 million, then, you know, there comes a point where pushing the boat out becomes an allowable exercise, particularly when you've got the money.
Well, thank you to Mark. Maybe you want to add something to that. 01419511025. Rangers fans, we want to hear from you on the potential signing of Robin Proper. As I say, Kilmarnock and St Mirren fans, big games tomorrow. Let's hear from you. While you get your calls in, let me tell you about this. Yes, this is something you will want to get involved in on Friday. We could change your life with over £250,000 on the cash register. That's how much you can win, but you need to make sure you enter first. If you get yourself in the draw right now, you could be £260,000 richer. What would that get you in the transfer market?
The guy that just signed for Motherwell.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
What's his name?
Stammer.
Are you going for the full one? Apostolos.
Not on your Nelly.
Stamatopoulos. There we go. I had to learn that last week when I was asking Stuart Kettlewell about him.
Give us that again, please.
Stamatopoulos.
Which is for Apostolos.
Apostolos, Stamatopoulos. Anyway, let's get back to the cash register. To enter, text yes to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at Clyde1.com with online entries costing £2 as well. Or you can call 0330 880 4523. All calls are charged at the standard network rate. It's over 18s only. If you've entered since lines opened last Monday, the 22nd of July, then don't worry, you are still in the draw. You don't need to re-enter. You can get all the rules for this Rail Network competition at Clyde1.com. Entries lines shut at 5 o'clock on the 2nd of August, and after that, Marvin Humes could be calling you. Answer within five rings. Tell us this week's cash register amount, which is £260,000, plus the money will be paid into your bank account within the hour. So for your chance to win, text yes to 61025 right now.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Remember, we are back to the 2-hour format, so there is still plenty of time to get your calls in. 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Let's take a look at some news coming out of Rangers today. This one coming a bit out of the blue. A lot of the transfers we see these days are, you know, go on for a long time, and you hear about it a month in advance, and all of a sudden, you know, eventually it gets over the line. This one looks as if it's fast tracked, and Rangers have Robin Proper in the country for his medical. Is that the type of signing you'd expect Rangers to make after the departure of Conor Goldson, 30-year-old central defender?
It seems, you know, on paper, an excellent signing and great piece of business, and, you know, sharp and, you know, getting over the line quickly with Conor Goldson going. Again, it looks as if it's been something that's been prepared properly and done properly. They knew that Goldson was perhaps leaving, so therefore they've done the work ahead of time, making sure that when Goldson was eventually going over to Cyprus, that when that was concluded, that the business was done straight away. We mentioned a week or so ago that Rangers needed tried and tested players ready to come in amongst some of the younger players that have signed. So this is a 30-year-old captain, played in Dutch football. He's got a good number of games under his belt. So yeah, it looks like, you know, an ideal replacement. Obviously, of course, we have to wait and see how he fits in. But a good piece of business for Rangers.
The pre-season games flagged up a very obvious concern. You know, when Union Berlin are scoring 4 goals against you, and apparently Rangers all over the place in Germany. Manchester United's kids got a couple of goals against you. Birmingham City, from the third tier of English football, got a couple of goals against you. I think Philippe Clement saw the signs and has acted accordingly. And I would expect Robin Proper to be on parade at Tynecastle at 12:30 Saturday afternoon.
I think they need a holding midfield player badly, though. I mean, I know Ryan Jack was injured a lot last year, missed out, but Lundstrom going as well. It was an area they struggled in anyway. And they definitely need someone who can sit in front of, whether it's his back four or he goes a back three, whatever, but someone who can sit there and protect the team a little bit more. As Hugh mentioned, even in pre-season, they're losing too many goals. So when they first came in, they were very solid defensively, Rangers, but in the latter part of the season, they were leaking too many goals.
Craig, as a Rangers fan in Knightswood, Craig, is that a signing you're looking forward to getting through the door?
I think at this moment, any signing is a good signing, because at the moment, we've signed a lot of young boys. I think Celtic need to stop panicking about their signings, because Rangers are in a really bad state at the moment, I think.
Are you not encouraged by what you've seen so far in this summer window, no?
Not particularly. I think Clement's not particularly happy with it either, to be honest. I think he was promised more than what he's getting. And I think he's a wee bit enamoured by it.
Yeah, he's acknowledged as much, hasn't he, Craig? Because he said it's not what I thought I was getting into last October.
Yep.
But he understands the way things are.
Just
to go back to something you said earlier, I don't think anyone is remotely suggesting panic at Celtic. I think the fans are 50-50 on this one. Some think, no problem, Celtic will win the league anyway. Yep. Others are saying they take some time to do their business. But panic would not be a word that you could associate with Celtic. However, I do commend Rangers. They lost Conor Goldson. It was clear to Philippe Clement that they are defensively suspect. The pre-season matches have highlighted that fact, and he's done something about it.
Is that the area that you felt needed to be fixed first, Craig?
Yes. I mean, defensively, we didn't have enough good defenders before Conor Goldson left. So now, obviously, we've brought in another guy, but it just depends if he starts up and running by next Saturday, and then we've got the qualifier next week. So it's quite a testful time for Rangers, I'd say.
Hugh thinks he'll be thrown in at Tynecastle. Do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, you've signed him, and unless you think you've got better options, then you play him. But again, I'm with Craig.
Would it not matter if he's not really trained too much with the squad?
No, as long as he's fit to play. I mean, you don't want him getting out there and pulling a muscle, you know, pulling a hamstring or a calf or something, because he's not. But if he's been back pre-season in Holland and he's up to speed and he's ready to go, then yeah, absolutely, you put him in. I don't really think it's that big an issue nowadays for players. I mean, they'll get a load of analysis and detail and information, so I don't really think it'd be too much of a surprise to get thrown in. Obviously, Tynecastle is a baptism of fire. There's no doubt about that. You know,
I'm not sure it is anymore.
I think it is. I think the atmosphere in the first game of the season, I think it will be. I think it'll be frantic and, you know, the pace of the game. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It's not like the old Tynecastle, but I do think it is still a test. I know Rangers have some good results there. But I look at Rangers and you have to say they had to strengthen, you know, really quite a bit since Philip Clement came in, I think by his own admission. And then you have to ask yourself, are they stronger coming up to the start of the season than they were when Philip Clement came in? And I don't think they are. And that would be the worrying thing for Rangers fans. They're not stronger. They needed, you know, more options up front. I mean, Dessers scored 20 goals, but it takes a lot of criticism. There isn't. I know Danilo might be back fit. You know, obviously that gives them that another option. But Roof leaving, Jack leaving, Barisic, Goldson. You know, there's a lot of players, Lundstrom. So at this moment in time, There are definite work in progress, but if you're the manager of Rangers, you don't get too long to see how long that progress takes.
If we're using Rangers pre-season friendlies to underline defensive laxity leading to the signing of Robin Proper, I give you no need to develop nervous anxiety over a Hearts team who have just lost 3-0 to a team from the fourth tier of English football.
You're telling us it's going to be an 8-all draw on Saturday?
No, I'm telling you, I wouldn't put two bob on Hearts.
Well, thank you to Craig. Still time to get your calls in, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You too. Have a bit of work to do to try and restore what? The pride of the pundits, because it's currently 2-0 to the Callers on this season of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I think, was it Marvin Bartley lost on Monday? Simon Donnelly lost last night. So,
there you go.
Could it be that it's three defeats in the row for the pundits? All you need to do to take on either Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy is call 0141 951 1025 before 7 o'clock, and you could be up next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy alongside me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still another hour for you to get your thoughts in. Celtic fans, we've been hearing some opinions on Adam Ida, whether it looks as if he's on his way back to the club after Norwich have said that they're going to punish him internally for missing a flight to their pre-season training camp in Austria. Rangers fans, we want to hear what you think of that potential new signing. It looks as if Robin Proper is going to be joining from FC20, and we will of course take a closer look at those big European fixtures tomorrow involving Kilmarnock and St Mirren. There is a European fixture tonight that is important for one of our Scottish teams, Partizan Belgrade against Dinamo Kiev. Rangers of course play the winners of that tie next week. Currently 0-0 after just 4 minutes, as we know it's 6-2 to Dynamo Kiev on aggregate, so you'd expect that one will be pretty straightforward.
Well, I mean, it takes a goal from Dynamo Kiev, 7-2 in aggregate, you look to your own intelligence to say that's that. I mean, I believe that's that now anyway. Yeah. So Dynamo Kiev will play Rangers in Poland next Tuesday.
Prepare for that.
Get your calls in while we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
An unbeaten start for the Callers on this season of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Marvin Bartley losing on a tiebreaker on Monday. Simon Donnelly was pipped 4-3 last night as well. So are you feeling as if you can break that streak? Not a long streak, I'll give you that, but it is a streak nonetheless.
It's like pre-season, you know, it takes you a while to get into your stride.
It's not pre-season though. Pre-season has been gone. This is the competitive stuff.
No. Pre-season ends at 12:30 in Edinburgh on Wednesday. Saturday.
You just said that Hearts get beat 3-0 by Fleetwood, and now you're saying it's, you know, you're not really that bothered about the pre-season.
No, I'm just saying Hearts are hopeless.
What you're going to say is if you win, it'll count as a competitive fixture. If you don't, it'll still be pre-season.
Yeah. I need something to suit my argument at all times.
Right, let's see what Andy and Mary Hill think. Andy, do you think you've got the beating of one of these two?
I've definitely got the beating out of my...
Oh, there we go. I like the confidence. Right. Who would you rather play?
Another Mary Hill man here in Duffy, so be careful.
Who would you rather play, Andy?
I'd rather play Jim, but Hugh can be unpredictable.
Yeah. Okay. The erratic style of Hugh Keevans.
I could be rotten or really rotten.
Have you played before, Andy?
I played last year.
How did you get on?
I beat DL.
Beat Gordon DL. Yeah. If we look last season, actually, statistically, you'd rather play Hugh than Jim, because Jim had a 64% win rate last season. Hugh had a 61% win rate last season. Right,
it's not my 61s already.
Yeah. Really, miracle for me.
It's not looking that great when you consider that out of 13 different pundits, you were 10th and 11th in the table. So it's not great, but there are a couple in there that maybe only played once or twice.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Depends on how many times you're on it.
Yeah, that's true. Right, we'll see if either of you can get off to a winning start. Heads, it'll be Jim Duffy. Tails, it'll be Hugh Keevans. And it is Hugh Keevans you'll be playing against. So I'll make sure he gets some greatest hits radio in his ear. He'll give me the nod, which means Hugh Keevans can't hear me. You've played before, Andy, but I'll run over the rules. 30 seconds to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if you're struggling to buy yourself a bit of time. Is that all good?
That's great.
Let's go. How many trophies did Conor Goldson win at Rangers?
3.
Which international side does Adam Ida play for?
Republic Ireland.
Who has won more games as Scotland manager, Steve Clark or Gordon Strachan?
Strachan.
Who did Jim Goodwin last manage before Dundee United?
Aberdeen.
Name any side who won their League Cup group this season.
Motherwell.
Sam Lammers has left Rangers for a team in which country?
In Holland.
Right, okay, let's get Hugh Keevans back. Ready to go, Hugh? Ready, I am, yes.
I think I'll do well.
Kick off your Beat the Pundit season. Let's see how you get on. Let's go. Right. How many trophies did Connor Goldson win with Rangers?
Three.
Which international side does Adam Ida play for?
Republic of Ireland.
Who's won more games as Scotland manager, Steve Clark or Gordon Strachan?
Clark.
Who did Jim Goodwin last manage before Dundee United?
Aberdeen.
Name any side who won their League Cup group this season?
Aberdeen.
Sam Lammers has left Rangers for a team in which country?
Holland.
Who are the only Scottish League One side who've previously played in the Premiership?
I've fallen down on that one.
Three.
Pass.
Two. Oh, pass. Right. Okay. How do you think it went, Andy?
I think it was very close. He might have just beat me with one.
I think you are right. I think it was very close. We'll see whether he did or not. How many trophies did Connor Goldson win with Rangers? You both said three. You are both correct. One of each, a league title, a league cup, and a Scottish cup. Which international side does Adam Ida play for? That was a nice easy one, wasn't it? Yeah. Republic of Ireland. So two all. Who's won more games as Scotland manager, Steve Clark or Gordon Strachan? You were a 50-50. You went for Steve Clark. Andy went for Gordon Strachan. Who would you say, Jim?
I went for Steve Clark.
Steve Clark is correct. 25 to Strachan's 19, which means it goes 3-2 to Hugh Keevans. Who did Jim Goodwin last manage before Dundee United? You both said Aberdeen, so it stays the same name. Any side who won their League Cup group this season? Andy went for Motherwell, which was correct. Maybe controversially correct, depending on whether you're a Partick Thistle fan or not. You went for Aberdeen. Aberdeen was correct as well. Sam Lammers has left Rangers for a team in which country? You both got it. The Netherlands. Hugh got one more question. Andy didn't, so it didn't really matter because Hugh was already one up and he passed on that one. But yes, it is a 6-5 win for Hugh Keevans. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I knew the pre-season haircut would work.
Honestly, I think that was a good game.
The League One side who played in the
Premiership? Inverness. The only League One side that have played in the Premiership.
They're tumbling down there.
Yeah. Andy, 5 is still a good score.
I know, but I've let the punters down, haven't I?
That is true. The first defeat for the callers so far this season. Look, I think the pundits normally win, don't they? The pundits normally have the beating, but yeah, it is a first point on the board for the pundits. It's Hugh Keevans that has got it in hard lines to Andy. The sign ball will be staying here in Clydebank.
Partick beats Maryhill. It's an old story.
So is that the competitive stuff really started now? Now that you've got your win, it's not pre-season.
No. I officially declared the season open now.
There we go. Marvin Bartley is normally the type to gloat as well. You can gloat now that you got that first win on the board.
Because you've got 100% now, and he's got 0%. So therefore, that's
infinitely better than Marvin Bartley. It beat the pundit. There you go. You get the bragging rights for at least another week or so.
I've never heard a man complain so much in my life as Marv. But anyway, Andy, thanks for the game.
Yes, of course, we will be playing again tomorrow night. You can get involved then if you want to make a point about the football. 01419511025. Let's go back to the phones. We have Martin, who's a Celtic fan in Coatbridge. How are you, Martin?
I'm great. How are you, mate? All right?
Yeah, not bad at all. What have you got for us tonight?
You all right, guys? How are you doing, Martin? Jim?
Good. Yeah, very good.
Hey, Shug?
Yeah, great.
Brilliant, mate. No, actually, I can't understand all the blather, right, about Celtic signing players, right? Well, I see if for pre-season, right, we probably need another striker, you know what I mean, in case Kyogo gets injured. When it comes down to Hatate, if Hatate's going to go, right, we'll need another midfielder. Bernardo's going to come in for O'Reilly, right, if O'Reilly goes. Right.
Is that an adequate replacement, do you think, Martin, from what you've seen from Paulo Bernardo? Do you feel Celtic are okay if Matt O'Reilly goes and Paulo Bernardo's his replacement?
Mate, I'll tell you now, right, Bernardo, see in about 2 years' time, Bernardo will go for about £20 million, mate. Trust me. I'm delighted with Bernardo's come in. I mean, to get him for £3.5 million, that's just Celtic, but, you know, I mean, the business we do is unbelievable. He'll be a £20 million sale.
I'll put that to the guys. Do you feel, from what you've seen of Paulo Bernardo, that if Celtic were to sell Matt O'Reilly, that they wouldn't need to go out and find a direct replacement if Paulo Bernardo comes in?
For me, Paulo Bernardo does well, but he's no Matt O'Reilly. And if Matt O'Reilly goes, Celtic really do need quality. I'm not saying you can get the quality of O'Reilly, who's £25 million worth, but you have to go higher than Paulo Bernardo. And Martin is slightly generous. He said
Celtic probably need another striker. There's no probably about it. They've got Kyogo and nobody else. So they're playing domestic football and Champions League. There is no probably about this. Celtic need to get themselves a proper striker and perhaps two.
I know what you're saying, you're right. But, I mean, I think one more striker would do, right? And I'm looking at the pre-season, right, also, right? I was going to mention about the full team. I mean, I'm looking at the full team, right? I'm looking at our full-backs, I'm looking at centre-halves, I'm looking at the midfield and the forward line, right? And what I've seen so far, even the young boys that have come in, the young centre-back that came in, the left centre-back that came in against Chelsea, he looks a great player, so he does. I honestly think, right, Celtic are going to give these young boys a chance. And even the guys in the fringes. See, like Michael Johnson looked like 10 times the player he was last year. Right, that goal he took against Chelsea. I mean, we hammered Chelsea. You know what I mean? We took them to the cleaners. And that was probably their team, right, bar two or three players. What I was saying earlier on to the presenter was, we're going to shock... See, when they get to this Champions League new formation, we will qualify for the Champions League this year, guaranteed. And I'll come on and see it when it happens.
Is it those pre-season games that gives you that confidence, Martin, or is it more than that?
No, mate, the same way I say is that when Rangers win the league, mate, I say that Celtic will go on and dominate Scottish football again, right, for the next 9-10 years, right? And a lot of people laughed at me when I came on and said that. That's going to happen as well. We're going to get a third nine in a row at least, right? I'd probably say we're going to get a 10 in a row, right? But let's call it a 9 just now. Brendan's here for the 10, mate. And what I've seen for Brendan Rodgers in pre-season, a lot of people will be shocked, right? We're going to be a better team this year than any team we had under Ange Postecoglou. And also, we'll be challenging the team that got the Invincibles under Brendan the first time. I'll be very shocked if that doesn't happen. But if that doesn't happen, I'll come on there.
You'll be shocked if Celtic don't have an invincible season. That's quite a call.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, mate. I've looked at Rangers, right? Rangers are in dire straits, mate. Honestly, they're in dire straits. They're signing guys for FC 20. I mean, if this guy was any good player, man, Ajax or PSV or Feyenoord would have him. You know what I mean? He's not great shakes. I mean, scoring a goal soon, he was the mainstay of Rangers' defence. So he was. I mean, I'm delighted to see Conor Goldson go. That guy was, he was the one that kept it all together for Rangers at the back. I'm absolutely over the moon. A lot of Celtic fans will be over the moon. Right, that's an absolute blunder for Rangers. They've no clue. Honestly, they have no idea.
Was that a mistake? Rangers letting Conor Goldson go?
Listen, you know, the decision is made by a number of people. Obviously, the player doesn't have to go. He's under contract, so they could decide to turn it down. He's obviously wanted to go eventually. The manager, again, would play a strong role. I'm sure if he really, was wanting Conor Goldson to stay, you know, he would have made sure that happened. So I think there was a lot of things. Only time will tell whether it's a mistake or not. I mean, he's been there. A lot of Rangers fans we've had on the programme think it was time for Goldson to go and time for Tavernier. They think that they've not got the mentality required to challenge Celtic. But it's not just about those two players. They need a number of players with a stronger mentality. But Martin is like overly optimistic. I mean, to the point almost euphoric before a ball was kicked. But you can't really judge it in pre-season. I understand he's saying playing Chelsea, playing Man City, or he's getting some of the younger players come in. You know, that doesn't really stack up. For him to say that Celtic will qualify, guaranteed at the Champions League is a big, big call. There's a better chance this year. I think there is a better chance with it.
Because there's a playoff round now, so 24 teams get into the knockout stages, essentially.
Yeah, you've got more of an opportunity. Obviously, Brendan has got more experience in the competition now. Most of the players have got more experience. The one thing I will say that I agree with Martin is that they've kept all of the players, you know, really, in terms of who you would want to keep. There's not... Obviously, there's still the talk about O'Reilly, but he's still there at this moment in time. So, O wasn't a major part of it, you know, so he's left. Obviously, it looks like Lagerbielke is going to go. There's other players on the fringes who weren't regular players. But the main kind of crop of players, the 14, 15, 16 players, whatever it was, they're all still there. So, can you add quality into that? Then that would give them a chance. But I agree with you. Unless they get at least one striker in, I think that they're really taking a huge risk. I just don't think Kyogo is capable of playing all of those type of games back to back. I think it's a huge risk on the player as well.
I applaud Martin's positivity. He's doing a me. He's gone right over the top in every respect.
Normally you're the other direction though. You're full pessimism.
But I'm sure I heard that throwaway line that Martin said there. Brendan's here for the 10. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they said that before he left for Leicester City. But I'll overlook that. And I will say that I applaud his positivity, because if you can't be positive now, then when can you be positive? However, matches have to be played domestically and in Europe. And in Europe, I repeat, Martin, stagnation has been the word associated with Celtic in Europe. Stagnation.
On you go, Martin.
What we'll say about under Brendan, what happened under Brendan was Brendan Rodgers went to the board and asked for more money at that time, right before he left. Right, this was probably about a year before, right? And he got knocked back, so he did. And he probably told them right there and then. They said, well, listen, if you're not going to go along with what I'm thinking here, I'm going to leave when a good offer comes in. Now, what happened last year was a couple of the directors that Brendan was up against in the boardroom, he actually got the better of them because they got the bullet, so they did. So it strikes me that Brendan has won that battle. Right.
Which directors got the boot, to use your expression?
Yeah, well, there's two directors that got the boot, like you.
When?
During the season last year.
Who?
Hi.
Who?
Two directors got the boot, mate.
No, they didn't.
I'm sure they did. Hi. I'm sure there was a couple of guys that let go. Peter Lovell's boy, was he not let go?
He was head of recruitment. He wasn't a board member.
Right. Well, I think he won that discussion anyway, whatever it may be, right? He won that battle, right? And Dermot Desmond's given him the go-ahead to do things his own way. And that'll be proved. That'll be proved over the next year or two. Trust me. This is going to be a great period, this, for Glasgow Celtic. We're going to rule Scottish football for the next 8, 9, 10 years.
Well, they're in the midst of a great period. They've won 12 of the last 13 titles. That means they are in the midst of a great period. We're trying to focus attention on what Celtic need to do, beginning with Kilmarnock on Sunday, taking in 8 Champions League ties. And at the moment, as things stand, statistically speaking, as things stand, on the 31st of July, Celtic squad is weaker than the one that finished last season.
Martin doesn't mind, though. He's heard all the conversations. He's got the bug in the boardroom. He's heard it all. He's confident.
Yeah, but you've got to be careful as well, Martin. You know, you can't just throw out statements and say, you heard this and this is a fact. You know, there's a lot of football rumours. There's a lot of suggestion. You're saying, Brendan Rodgers said this and Brendan Rodgers went and asked that. You don't know these things for sure. So the one thing Brendan Rodgers does have is he's now got that knowledge and experience of European campaigns under his belt. The players do know that. He knows what's required now, but the Celtic will have to adapt their style. They just can't go and play the way they want to play. It didn't happen under Ange Postecoglou. It's not happened under Brendan Rodgers. They have to be more pragmatic in Europe to make sure they qualify, if I've got any chance of qualifying for the knockout stages.
Well, thank you to Martin, Kilmarnock fans, St Mirren fans. The perfect time for you to call in. We want to preview those big European games tomorrow. Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on Robin Proper. Looks as if that Dutch central defender is going to be in the door before that game at Tynecastle on Saturday. Any thoughts? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is 25 minutes into that game between Partizan Belgrade and Dynamo Kiev. Of course, the winner of that tie takes on Rangers in the next round of Champions League qualifying. It was 6-2 to Dynamo Kiev in the first leg, and they are 1-0 up. Yeah. In Belgrade. So it's safe to say that Rangers will be going to, I think it'll be Poland that they'll be playing the games in. Lublin, I think, is where they have been playing
next Tuesday
their home matches. So we'll, of course, take a closer look at that next week. By European games, of course, tomorrow night for Kilmarnock and St Mirren. We'll take a look at them shortly. Let's speak to Andy, who's a Rangers fan in Finiston. Andy, how are you?
How you doing, boys? I am brilliant. Aye, how are you?
Good, Andy.
Good, yeah. All good. Yep.
I'm just saying to the producer, I'm not too sure what you think about Rangers just now. I watched the first half of the Berlin game, and I thought we scored 3 absolutely brilliant goals, football with magic. And then you flick the coin on the other side, defence was absolutely shocking, especially on the left. I mean, I don't know why Yilmaz, I know he's probably tried to get a couple of players some games by time, but Yilmaz just started came on at half time because I thought their defence looked absolutely shocking.
Well, they've addressed the problem, you know.
They've addressed one of the, one central defender, is that going to sort everything?
No, but you know, as the old Chinese proverb says, journey of 1,000 miles has to begin with a single step. So they looked at it, Clement has looked at it and thought, this won't do. And he started to address the problem by getting in Robin Proper.
Certainly when you look at Rangers defensively in a numbers game as well, they have Tavernier and Sterling at right back, they've got Jeffrey and Yilmaz at left back. There are a good number of central defenders now, with Robin Proper being added to that. Clinton Enciala was added to that as well. You were saying earlier, Jim, is it defensive midfield you think is the next move that Philippe Clement needs to make?
No, I thought it was a problem last year. I think it's still a problem. Obviously, Raskin came back in, but he's more a dynamic type of player. He's not the guy who just sits there and reads it. If you're wanting Yilmaz or Tavernier, whoever it is, your fullbacks to be high and wide, which most teams want now, then you need someone who can read the game and can assess the danger and set and sense it and protect your back line when you're attacking. And Rangers will be attacking most of the games in domestic football, so therefore you need to have someone who's switched on defensively in the midfield, and I just don't see anyone within their ranks. I know they tried it with Dejan Sterling a few times, but I think that takes away from his athleticism, so I don't think he's the obvious one. He could fill in here and there. So I think that's someone they will definitely, an area they definitely have to look at if he's going to play, this kind of style. Andy said that, you know, Rangers did score some good goals and against Union Berlin, play some good football, but they were very open, very expansive. Maybe the manager was just, you know, almost allowing them, letting them off the leash to let them score some goals and maybe just get a little bit of confidence and let them play. And he's looking at that area of the pitch, and then he's going to tighten up a little bit as he gets closer. But obviously this week is about preparation, about going to Tynecastle.
What does Rangers' transfer window for the next month look like for you, Andy? What does Philippe Clement need to do to sort out those negatives you were talking about?
He's got a few players in there. You know, I know he's signed a few players. He's already turned around and said they're not ready to play, or he's not got the quality. So maybe somebody to cover for Yilmaz and Tavernier, maybe. I don't know if Tav's still going to be here, so we need to...
Would you expect there to be fullbacks brought in, though, when Jeff Day is there? Dejan Sterling can play right back as well?
For me right now, I seen him, I wouldn't be playing him.
But they need to be stronger in the midfield, Andy. The midfield wasn't strong enough last year with the players they had. You know, even when you had Lundstrom, you had Jack, you had Lawrence, you had Dells, you had Cantwell, you had Raskin. You know, Rangers still weren't good enough in the middle of the pitch. They need to be, as a unit, much, much stronger in that area. It's not just about numbers, it's about quality. And I just don't see, unless they can really, you know, significantly strengthen that area, I just don't see how they can possibly make a challenge.
Midfield, we have got some good players here. I mean, but it's trying to get them. I mean, even Cantwell. I mean, I don't know what's happened to him. I mean, I'm kind of on the 50-50 with him now, because if that boy knuckles down and does what he's told, I think he's still got.
Well, he wants to leave, Andy. He has transfer request.
He has asked to leave,
so he wants
Andy.
To leave. You got to move him.
2 transfer requests.
Yeah.
I know, but then Clement's coming in and saying, look, he's willing to take him back on.
Yeah, I think he said that, you know, the door would be open to any player if they're still, you know, willing and showing the quality.
Or if nobody comes in for him.
would you expect, with the conversations, the way they've gone, the fact that Philippe Clement said to Todd Cantwell, go away and think about it, and he came back and said, I still think exactly the same, so I want to leave. Would you just expect that is the end of the road? Yeah,
I don't think the Rangers fans, in the majority, are all that bothered if he goes. You know, the
the culture of failure that has existed at Ibrox, he was part of it. You know, he didn't contribute enough in the long run. The first few weeks of the season are so important. I mean, we know nothing about anybody until the games actually start to get played. But in August, Rangers are away at Tynecastle. They have two games at Hampden, Motherwell, Ross County. In the midst of that, they have Dynamo Kiev, home and away. And on the 1st of September, they're at Celtic Park. From the 3rd of August to the 1st of September, an awful lot of demands are going to be made of Rangers. And how they respond to those demands, I think, will have a huge impact on the remainder of the season. And that, for me, will tell us all we need to know. By the 1st of September, I think we can accurately predict how the rest of Rangers' season will look.
How well equipped are Rangers going into this game at Tynecastle on Saturday, Andy?
Well, I think we're okay. I really do. I mean, I was like a lot of Rangers fans with Dessers last year. He scored 20 goals, but I think now, I really think we're okay. We're going to be okay against Hearts. I know you said earlier on it's only friendlies. Hearts can beat 3-0. So for me to go there, or us to go there, I'm not fearing it. I think we'll win.
I don't think there's any reason to suspect anything other than a traditional Hearts-Rangers game at Tynecastle. The only thing I would say is that Hearts last season played Rangers 5 times.
Yeah.
And get one draw out of those 5 matches. And there's nothing to suspect. They brought in good players, Blair Spittle, Jan Danda. But I was shocked by what went on last weekend. And they really have...
You're really reading that much into it?
Well, it's the week before the season begins. If Rangers draw 4-4, we read things into it. Celtic beat Chelsea and score 4, and we read things into it. So I think we're entitled to read something into a team from the fourth tier of Scottish English football beating by 3-0 a team who would tell you that they are the third biggest team in Scotland.
Well, thank you to Andy. Of course, there are two huge European games tomorrow night. Kilmarnock against Cercle Bruges over in Belgium. St Mirren host Valour in their first European home match in 37 years. Let's speak to Simon, who is a Kilmarnock fan, who is normally phoning us from Kilmarnock, but is phoning us from Bruges tonight. Simon, how are you?
Hi guys, hope you're all doing well. Yeah, I'm in one of the best cities in the world, so yeah, absolutely, can't complain.
How excited are you for this game tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely delighted. I just can't wait for it to come now. There's 5,000 Kilmarnock fans here, and it feels like there's even more. All the town squares have been taken over all day, and you know, it's the day before the game, so I just can't wait for it. And yeah, just want the game to start now, and Kelly to try and, you know, because it will be an upset if we manage to do it. So, but I've got faith in my team, so you know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't. So
I think Kilmarnock's first European game on foreign soil. Of course, yeah. There was the Konoski Nomad game. Yeah. Sorry for bringing it up, Simon, but there was the 2001, I think it was the last time a European game on foreign soil. So you can see why so many fans have made the journey over. Where do you sense the optimism, pessimism is amongst all the supporters out there, Simon?
Well, Cercle Bruges lost 3-0 at the weekend, the first league game of the season. Watched the highlights when we were coming over. We drove down from... went and met my mate and his son in Motherwell. We drove down from Motherwell down to Dover overnight last night, and we watched the highlights of the game. And the mistakes they were making...
I hope it was extended highlights to try and eat into a bit of the journey.
No, nothing would eat into that journey. But it was... the mistakes they were making were the kind of things that I think Kelly could pounce on. So they were playing by a really high line. We've obviously got guys like Danny Armstrong and Matty Kennedy who play in behind. Kyle Vassell as well, who plays in behind Marley Watkins, if he's fit. He can do that as well. I think that's something to do it. But it's going to be a really, really, really tough game. Cercle Bruges are obviously owned by a billionaire, the same guy who owns Monaco. So it's not going to be easy by any manner of means. And if Kelly lose, it's not an embarrassment by any manner. But it's just to be here and just experience it in this, like, an amazing city with so many Kilmarnock fans, and just you know, it's a fantastic trip for us all, and it's something we think we all deserve because we've earned it. When Derek McInnes came in, you know, we were fourth in the championship. He's turned it around in 3 years now. We're sitting here in Bruges, so yeah, it's just can't wait for it to get started now.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. It's huge for the supporters, but Derek McInnes will be the first to tell you that Kilmarnock aren't just there to make up the numbers. They want to make an impact. They want to try and go as far in Europe as possible. And with the result and the performance, especially towards the end of the game last week, they'll have confidence that they can cause Cercle Brugge problems, but it will be a very different game. The surface, Cercle Brugge being at home will give them, just naturally, you get a bit more of an advantage.
Yeah, but Kilmarnock, side of it in terms of playing on the pitch. I mean, that's something that they do most weeks anyway. You know, the home game is not perfect, but I really don't think it played a major role in the result of the performance in the first game. If anything, as Hugh mentioned at the start of the programme, Cercle Brugge played well in the first period, so I don't think that had an impact on how Kilmarnock played. Marley Watkins should be back available. He is certainly back available, as you said, if he's fit. But he gives him a different option. He gives him a different way of playing. He will make runs in off sort of Vassell. So therefore, they do have more firepower available to them. And as I said at the start of the programme, I think they could be suited to sitting in that kind of counter-attack style. I think it's a style that Derek McInnes is more than happy to play. He's done it many, many times against the bigger clubs. They do have, you know, the consolation that they would go into, you know, they would still be in Europe, you know, they would get into the next competition if that result didn't go their way. So the likes of Simon could have another European trip on the horizon. But I think it would not surprise me if Kilmarnock went through here. And I think it's all testament to Derek McInnes and his coaching staff. I think they've done an absolutely outstanding job at Kilmarnock, and they deserve all the praise they can possibly get, because managers take enough stick, believe me, that when the going's good and your stock's high, and Derek's stock is high, then he deserves all the praise that the Kilmarnock fans should be giving him.
There's one reason why we're all Kilmarnock fans along with Simon tomorrow night, and there's one reason why we're all St Mirren fans when they play Valour tomorrow night. The coefficient is in trouble, big trouble, and unless we can arrest a decline in European matches over the years, were it not for Rangers, the coefficient would be in real trouble. We have to get that problem addressed, and that's why I hope Kilmarnock win tomorrow night along with St Mirren, and then we need Rangers to progress, we need Celtic to do something, anything in the Champions League, and Hearts as well.
Well, thank you to Simon, hope you enjoy the rest of your trip.
Thanks very much, guys. Mona Kelly.
Looking forward to that one tomorrow. St Mirren fans, perfect time for you to call, because we'll hear a bit from Stephen Robinson after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It has absolutely flown in, hasn't it? Loads to talk about ahead of the league season kicking off this weekend. It's all spread out as well. Loads of games across. Championship games start on Friday night. There's one on Friday. Then the early kickoff at Tynecastle on Saturday. There's only one, is it? 1 3 o'clock Premiership kickoff on Saturday, which is the traditional slot, and then some three on Sunday, I think, and then one on Monday night. So lots to bring you over the next few days. But the most immediate games that we are concerned about, Kilmarnock and St Mirren in European action. Let's speak to Ian, who is a Kilmarnock fan. Ian, how are you feeling ahead of that one tomorrow?
Quietly confident, but I think I'm the same type of quietly confident as Scotland fans were, but still got a chance, still in it. We played well last Thursday, put in a good performance after doing a goal down, and we've done it before, proving that we are capable of upsets in the league, so why can we not go and do it in Europe?
Did that performance last week surprise you at all, or was that exactly what you were expecting, given what you saw from your side last season?
I wouldn't say it was a surprise. I was proud of them because they put in the performance. I wouldn't say it was a surprise.
I'm glad you raised the point about Scotland, Ian, because we never learn.
We always go there saying, yes, this will be it. The first time we'll get out the group stages and so on and so forth. And then bang. But I would not write off Kilmarnock under any circumstances. I just happened to think, Ian, that Bruges at Rugby Park showed that they were a bit lively, and on their own ground, on their own preferred surface of real grass instead of synthetic surfaces, I just think that there'll be a lot of hard times in the game for you. And by the same token, you do have in Vassell, Danny Armstrong, players who can trouble them as well.
Yeah, who are the main men that need to step up tomorrow, Ian, if Kilmarnock are to get that result?
I reckon we need a couple of good midfield performances from Donnelly and Lyons, if they are starting, to sort of break up their play and get us on the counter-attack. A couple of good passes for Danny Armstrong, Kennedy, to hit them on the break. There seems to be Bruges' weakness from the weekend, from their performance at the weekend.
It's probably an unfair question as well, because probably in a game like that, you need every single player, all 11, to step up and be counted. Then whoever Derek McInnes decides to bring off the bench. But sometimes it all comes together like that. The players step up to the occasion. They, you know, thrive in that atmosphere.
Again, I think Kilmarnock will be better, because that was their first competitive game, and they actually got stronger in the game. If anything, you would have thought maybe Kilmarnock would have started well, maybe the first half hour, and then get a little bit tired because of the first game. It actually was worked the other way around. They kind of had to get their second wind, but I think that game will actually have benefited them. I think it'll benefit their fitness, their sharpness, their knowledge, their understanding of Cercle Bruges and how they play. They've had a little bit more time to assess the game and look at the analysis, and they can get into the game, I think, a little bit more freedom to go and play. And again, I've said it several times, but counter-attackers won't be phasing. They won't mind if Bruges have a little bit more of the ball, provided it's not in the dangerous areas. And although Robbie McRae had a few decent saves last week, He wasn't called upon that often. So they weren't peppering the goal all the time. So I think patience and, you know, discipline will be very, very important, because I'm absolutely convinced Kilmarnock will get one or two really good chances. And, of course, goes without saying that they have to capitalise on that. But I don't see them getting hemmed in for, you know, concerted periods of time. I just think that Bruges will probably dominate the ball in the middle of the pitch, in the middle area, but that's fine. In and around the box, Kilmarnock are normally very strong defensively.
The fact Cercle Bruges had a competitive game at the weekend, their first league game of the season, does that make a difference, Ian, at all, to preparations for this game?
I think it might give us an advantage, because we had a friendly arranged with Annan, which we called off in order to put in more preparation for the European game. So maybe we've got a little bit more sharpness, a little bit more fitness, a little bit more recovery, where they've had a few less days to recover. So that might give us a little bit of an advantage.
It's a funny thing about Kilmarnock, Ian. You've got the European tie, very, very important in terms of prestige, in terms of the coefficient. And then you got hardly any recovery time at all, and you're at Celtic Park on Sunday.
Aye. Well, I'm quite confident about that as well, because we didn't have too bad a time against Celtic, apart from their champion winning game when they beat us 5-0. I don't think the rest of the games that season were...
Yeah, they were close, weren't they?
Yeah, there was close, a draw, affairs, was there, at Celtic Park? David Watson scoring late on, of course. So, but that's the thing. Ian probably speaks for a lot of Kilmarnock fans, just at their confidence levels going into any game, which will be a world away from what it was before Derek McInnes came into the club. It just shows the transformation that he's overseen there over the last two and a half years.
Ian saying there, it's similar to Simon earlier on, there's a whole different expectation about Kilmarnock now. I think when, you know, a couple of years ago, obviously when Derek first went in, get out of the league, done that by the skin of their teeth, beating their growth, and then stayed up, which was consolidation, and it's all about building, and he's managed to do that. But the expectation levels will rise now, so that, you know, if you don't finish the top six, that would be disappointing. If you don't get into Europe, that's disappointing. So the players have to lift themselves again, and, you know, the Derek will be fine with it. He'll understand the expectation levels. But the fans now, there's no good taking 5,000 fans away across for a European tie and then turn up, you know, at Rugby Park and there's only 3,000 or 4,000. They need to get behind the team on a consistent basis and get more people. We understand financial difficulties, I'm not going to take that aside, but if there is an opportunity to get behind the team and encourage them to continue to build, then bums on seats will definitely help that.
Well, thank you to Ian. Let's take a look at that other game tomorrow night, St Mirren against Valour. Stephen Robinson has been talking today ahead of that one. He wants his players to embrace the occasion tomorrow night.
Yeah, it is. There's no point downplaying it. It's been nearly 40 years in the making. So we want to go and embrace it. We want to go and enjoy it, not fear it. You know, as I say, the players have earned the right for this. They've earned the right to be in the tie. That was the important bit from the first leg. And, you know, as I say, we're going to go and play our game. We're going to get the crowd behind us and take the game to Villa. We've been very clear in our intentions. We didn't want it to be one round. As I say, first and foremost, we kept ourselves in the game, potentially should have been winning. And it's now an opportunity. Both teams know who they get in the next round, so it's certainly a carrot for both teams. And it's important, I think it's important for Scottish football, that everybody represents Scotland well and shows what a good standard it is. And we aim to do that tomorrow night.
Different types of expectations for St Mirren than against Kilmarnock, because St Mirren will be the favourites going into this based on how they played over in Iceland, game that they had chances to win, didn't win it. There will be a sellout crowd in Paisley tomorrow night that will be expecting, you would think, St Mirren to go through in this tie.
Well, absolutely. It's such a nostalgic occasion. 37 years out of Europe. Great crowd. We now have to fight that old fatalistic attitude that Scottish people have. Oh, they should have done it in Iceland. No. And they should have done it in Iceland. And they finished up playing 10 men in Iceland, but still didn't get the job done. However, I have every confidence. I'm sorry, Stephen. I have to say this. I have every confidence that St Mirren will win that.
The dreaded Hugh Keevans prediction. One thing that could play into their hands as well, Aaron Johansson, who was a player who was sent off as one of our most experienced players as a USA international, it looks as if Gylfi Sigurdsson isn't going to travel over as well. That's two of the most experienced but probably highest quality players from Valour that won't be making the journey over.
Yeah, again, that's a bonus for St Mirren. You take any advantage you can possibly get, because, you know, these, as you mentioned, their coefficient is so poor. We've been notoriously poor in these early rounds. So if it can help St Mirren get through, then we'll take any advantage at all. But I think that at home, I think the crowd, again, we mentioned, I think it'll be a huge bonus to have that packed out stadium, a great atmosphere, driving the players on. I think it's great. It's getting like, you know, what it was, obviously, as Stephen there said, almost 40, 37 years ago. So these things are not easy to come by if you're playing as a man. So you've got to relish it. You've got to embrace it, to use his term. But more importantly, you've got to go and deliver and win the game.
I was going to say it'll be a great occasion for the young supporters, but there's been, you know, generations of St Mirren fans essentially that haven't seen a fixture in Europe like this, so it should be quite something.
I told you at the start of the programme, I was young the last time St Mirren played in Europe, so I wish them the very, very best.
Yeah, looking forward to those games tomorrow. We will bring you more build-up from 6 o'clock. Gordon Duncan will be in the studio with Gordon DL and Brian Graham. I wonder if Brian Graham maybe has something to say about what's happened over the last few days with Partick Thistle. You'll need to tune in tomorrow at 6 o'clock to find that out. But thank you for listening in tonight. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets. Thanks to Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans in the studio. As I say, Gordon Duncan in the studio, back tomorrow night with Gordon DL and Brian Graham. Stay right there, because Lynn Hogan is up next.